This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for joining us this Sunday, and please tune in again for an uplifting gospel message every week.
To make Jesus known has to be the most difficult task that our Heavenly Father has. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that this day our hearts might be open, and truly we might hear and know and believe that you, Lord Jesus, are really the Son of God and the Savior of the world, that you are the one who stands with us in good days and in bad days, and that you are the Savior who wants to give us a word this morning. Open our hearts and come in, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. Amen.
All the way, my Savior,
friends in Christ. Today's text moves us from the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ into the historical narrative of his life and ministry. And I want to say that at the beginning, this is a very, very difficult portion of Scripture to preach on as far as I am concerned. For we're dealing with a transition period of about 30 years, where we know very little about our Lord. We know, for example, as has already been brought out in the Christmas season, that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And then we learn that he wasn't very old before God warned Joseph and Mary that they were to take the boy to Egypt and there they were to live until told by God to bring him back to Israel. The reason was, as you will recall, that Herod, the wicked king, and the one who had all kinds of paranoia, thought that Jesus could be a threat to his kingdom, and so he was going to kill him. He was not successful in doing so. He killed many other little children, little boys about Jesus' age, but he didn't get Jesus. Then when Herod had died, God also gave the parents the word that they were to go back to Israel. And after some minor adjustments, they found their way to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus was raised. He worked with Joseph in the carpenter shop, and I'm sure was well thought of. I don't know of any other places to go that could give us more information on Jesus. There is one particular insight that we do have, that at the age of 12, he and his parents went to Jerusalem. I like to believe that was to celebrate his bar mitzvah, which every Jewish boy was supposed to have. And there in Jerusalem, he found his way into the temple, and there he was visiting with the theologians. They had lost him for 3 days. They didn't know where he had gone. You recall that text. But when they found him, there he was, astounding all who listened to him of his knowledge of the scriptures. But then they took him back to Nazareth, and life continued on for another 18 years. We know nothing about those years. Now, I'm sure that if one day in heaven we can talk with Mary and Joseph, we could get some very interesting stories of what it was like to be with that God-man during those years. So in the fullness of time, God presents his son to the world. Now this is what is going to happen. Jesus Christ is true God. Let us not forget this. But he empties himself and becomes obedient unto death. I think St. Paul has given us a very good picture of this, and I'd like to read it. It's in the second chapter of the book of Philippians, beginning with verse 6. Being in the very nature of God, now he's 30, being in the very nature of God, Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, on earth, above earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if we can take this picture, allowing, of course, that we may have made some mistakes here, for we know little to guide us differently, you have Jesus who does not head off for the carpenter shop, but he heads off for the synagogue on a Sabbath day and makes the announcement, I am the Messiah. The people thought that he was crazy, and so they finally decided that they were going to kill him. But they didn't get him, and as a result of that, Jesus' life moves on. Now, a part of this transition period, we have good information. According to God's plan, a forerunner was chosen to usher in the coming of the Messiah. and his name was John the Baptist. We meet him out in the wilderness, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." At that point, John the Baptist was standing between two worlds, a world before Christ and a world after Christ. The people flocked to hear his message and to be baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Now, this caused a great deal of commotion, and the Jewish people were very concerned, for they too were looking for the Messiah. So they went to John the Baptist and they asked him, "Who are you?" And John the Baptist replied, "I want you to know right away that I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. If you have some of those ideas rolling around in your head, get rid of them. I am just the forerunner of the Savior." But that didn't satisfy them, and so they asked him, "Well, are you Elijah?" Elijah was one of the Old Testament prophets, and he had mysteriously been taken up into heaven, the Bible tells us, and one day would return that way. Could this be the time that Elijah had returned and was announcing a prophet? "No," he said, "I'm not Elijah." Well, then there was another one that he could be, and he was simply unnamed the prophet. Some interpreters of the Bible believe that was Moses. They were asking, "Are you Moses?" "No, I am not the prophet." "Well, then, who are you? Because there's some power within you. Look at how the people are flocking to you, and see how they are anxious to be baptized by you." And then it is that John the Baptist says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" In other words, do I have a place? Yes, I do. Is the coming of the Messiah at hand? Yes, it is. Well, why do you baptize if you are not Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And then he says to them, "I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." The next day, they're out there again in the wilderness, and the inquirers are there too. And they ask him a question, "Tell us once more, where do you get this information?" And about that time, Jesus goes by. He says to them then, "Look, there is the Lamb of God. There is your Messiah. He comes to take away the sins of the world. This is one whom I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason that I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And then God gives us John the Baptist's testimony, as it is recorded in verses 32 to 34. Then John gave his testimony. And this is what he says. Now notice, it's a special testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him." Saw it remain on Jesus. "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me." Notice, God is telling John the Baptist who Jesus Christ really is. It is a revelation. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. In other words, John says, I have had a revelation that Jesus Christ is a God-man, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And the point is that if you and I in our day are to know Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that we will have a revelation like John the Baptist. It doesn't necessarily mean that there will be anything emotional to the point of some extraordinary experience. But it can mean in the quietness of our home with our Bibles. God can tell us that this is a Christ. I know it is a Christ. There are many people who have had a lot of information about Jesus. And they say, yes, he's the Son of God, the Savior of the world, but it is yet to come into their hearts. That is the point. And that time comes when suddenly we can say there's more than just learning these facts. This can be a very quiet, a gradual period of time. You've been raised in a God-fearing home, and they've told you, and now you've gone through the Christmas season, you recall those Christmas seasons when you were a little child, and how happy you were that you had a Savior. But that does not become real right at that moment. It grows. And you have experiences perhaps when you're a teenager. And you want to turn your back on him. But he's always there. And finally you say, I know him. He is my Savior and my Lord. That can be an awakening. It can be a conversion. The world will say, what a lot of foolishness. And so we have tried to change this a little bit and not just be so insistent that we take this as it stands written in the Scriptures. My friend, let me tell you this. You have a right to deny Christ as a Son of God and a Savior of the world. You have a right to say, I want to go this far with Christ and I don't want to go any further. I don't want to be known in this day as a religious fanatic. I want to live in a church that is rather sedate when it comes to this matter. There are so many good things that Jesus the man has given to us. Why not leave it there? And the reason we do not leave it there is that is not the reason that he came. He came primarily to grant us the forgiveness of our sins. Remember what John the Baptist said? These are not my words. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. This is a message, my friend, that must be proclaimed Sunday after Sunday. This is a message that brings us to our heavenly home. And so John the Baptist had that experience. Ours may be entirely different. I trust that it will be. I don't expect to see many people out there just making the position known as John did. But we have to have that experience. There is this terrific resistance on the part of the human being. And that is why I say, and I believe it to be true, that the most difficult task that God has is to reveal to us what is being revealed in this word today. You remember when we studied some time ago the creation story? And it there says that when God created man, created him in his image. And that meant, among other things, that he had a mind with which he could think, and a will with which he could make a decision, and that he had a soul that was immortal. Now, because we have a mind in which we can think, everything has to add up before we can say, this must be a truth. And all of this gospel does not always add up the way we want it to. That's why we begin to adjust it, so that we can make it add up. But in the process of making it add up to our common sense, we lose the power of the gospel. And so he has to deal with our resisting will. Not able to do it, for in this particular point, God has limited himself. He can make this vast creation, the mighty oceans, the fertile plains, the beautiful trees, and all the rest, and it cannot resist him. But that human being, you and me, have been created with a mind and a will and a soul that can say, no, God, get out. But as we begin another church year, it'll not be a John the Baptist who will be proclaiming to us that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It'll be the Savior himself. And here he is anxious to bring us into the palm of his hand, that we can live with him while we are here, that we can be one of his disciples who will tell this glorious story of Jesus Christ, and oh, how our world needs it. I have seen some of our mighty people, mighty leaders in the United States today, standing before the world on television, announcing all of the problems that we have with one another and with other parts of the world. And it's as if though they have a good story to tell us, and they have lingered and worked hard to make the truth known as best they see it, we still do not have the answer. The answer is, my friend, that we as a nation, that we as a people, may admit that all of our knowledge is limited. But let God reign in our hearts, and he will lead and guide us to the way of peace. That's a promise. He would love to do it, but it's his most difficult task. For man can say, and does say, no. Grant, O God, that we, as your children, should be our prayer. May let the Holy Spirit open our hearts, and that we may let you in to reign there supremely forever. Amen.
Thank you. was born, and God sent us salvation, that blessed Christmas morn. Oh, gather on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Oh, gather on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born.
Father, we thank you that your love is so great that you were willing to go to the greatest extreme, the giving of your Son. And when we get into the depth of this message, sometimes we are prone to say, this is too much for us. And we stop listening. Grant, O God, that even though on the basis of a daily conversation, the gospel is so simplistic, but when we delve into what it really means, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, there are many questions. Help us during this new church year that we may have some of these questions answered. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's sermon will provide inspiration and joy as you face the week ahead. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. These gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. And your gifts need not only remember someone who has passed away. Honorarium gifts are also a thoughtful way to celebrate someone still in your life. Send your memorial gifts and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We invite you to tell a friend, relative, or neighbor about Christian Crusaders. Those who travel outside of our broadcast areas can listen anytime to ChristianCrusaders.org on their computer. You can also call our office to request that sermon copies be sent to a particular individual. By reaching out to others in the world, we help share the light of the Lord with those who walk in darkness. Now, if you'd like a printed copy or CD of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.